So go ahead and turn a few places in your Bibles. One, go ahead and put a tassel, if you could. Put a tassel in Romans 5. It's going to take us a second to get there. But when we get there, we're probably going to be moving kind of fast. So go ahead and put a tassel, a bookmark, a bulletin, whatever you got. Put it in Romans 5. And then go ahead and turn your Bibles where we're going to start this morning in John 14. John 14. And this is a new one for me, as in 17 years out of having the privilege of teaching through God's Word, this is the first time ever. This morning is the first time ever to where this morning God put on my heart that the message that I had planned was not the message that I would preach. Now that has happened the day before. That has happened the morning before. It has not ever happened the morning of. And so I truly believe that if you're filled with His Spirit and if God has given you the blessing of being a teacher of His Word, a pastor, a shepherd of His people, a leader of the church, that you have to be obedient and in sync with the Spirit. And so what you need from me as your pastor is that I'm constantly praying to God, what's what you need in a to have for our people. That's what I need. That's what you need in a leader and a teacher and a pastor of a church. And so I woke up this morning. I'd already sent the slides to my brother. I already had all of my notes, all 9 pages of them. I was rehearsed. I was ready. I'd already spoken to people about what to read in advance. And I woke up this morning and God said, Hunter, that's not what I would have you preach. And so I was up here in my pajamas at 7:30. I was trying to come up with things and trying to put things together. And so this is a new one for me this morning, but I'm excited about it. I'm excited about it. As my brother Lane prayed, he said, more than anything, if someone does not know you, have them be convicted, quote, of their need of a Savior. That is the message. Are you in need of a Savior? My brother David here, as he sang the last song, he says, who needs Jesus? And I said, oh man, that is good stuff. That is the message. Who needs Jesus? And so go ahead and turn to John 14, no matter who you are. If you have Jesus or you need Jesus, no matter where your life is in the moment, this is a message that applies to all of us and that we desperately need. So no matter if you're a child or you're a senior, if you have this whole thing memorized, I plead with you to stop what you're doing and open up God's Word. Because I might not be fully prepared, but God's Word is always. So turn your Bibles to John 14. If you're a note taker, please write wherever you would write, who is Jesus to me? Who is Jesus to me? Listen to God's Word in the first 6 verses of chapter 14. Out of the mouth of Jesus Himself, He says, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. That's the sermon this morning. You believe in God, but believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you this. I've always loved that statement. He's just talking to the common man here. Hey, if it wasn't accurate, I wouldn't be telling you these things. In my Father's house, there's many mansions. If it were not so, I would also have not have told you this. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. It's good news. That where I am, there you may also be. And where I go, you know the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. And how could we know the way? Now highlight verse 6. Here is the sermon. So if you ever lose me, here is the word. And Jesus said to him, I am the way. I am the way and I am the truth and I am the life. Hang on at church. No one, not a soul, comes to the Father except through me. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you for today. I thank you for all of the people who have gathered. I pray for the people who are missing. I pray for our families and our marriages and our children and our leaders. I pray for the words that you would give me. Lord, I pray that you fill this place with your Spirit. And as my brother Lane said, if someone here does not know you as Lord, if they are following God the Creator, but they are not submitted to Jesus the Son, Lord, I pray that you bring understanding, the Spirit, and conviction to their life. And I pray for salvation today for those who are saved. Lord, I pray that we continuously live in a state of repentance. Continuously, eyes towards the clouds, waiting in anticipation, praising your name for the salvation that we have. Thank you for your word, your cross, your blood, your son, your church, in your precious name, in the name of Jesus Christ. The church says in harmony, amen. So when I was in the Dominican Republic a few weeks ago, I noticed something. And I had my handy dandy little notebook because I've started getting to an age and my mind is kind of maxed out at times with thoughts to where I'll have a good idea and then I'll go, oh man, this is a great illustration or this is a great thought. And by the time I get home, I've already lost it. And so I had this little notebook with me in my back pocket. And if I have a thought, I write it down now. And I wrote down this thought, hear me, not all believers are brothers. You hear me? Write it down. Not all believers are brothers. One thing that I noticed in the Dominican Republic as we went out and shared the gospel. The gospel is the good news that Jesus Christ came to this earth, perfect man, perfect God, to die for our sins, nothing that we have done, nothing that we deserve, nothing that we can earn. But by the grace of God, he pours his salvation for those that he would call his. And as we went around to this destitute city, not even doors to knock on, just open holes in walls. And we poured the gospel in to these people. There's one thing that I saw is that most of them believed in God. As I looked at them and I said, do you believe that there's a God? These people who have never owned a Bible would look at me and go, oh, yes, yes. God is everything. God is everything. I need God. I love God. I want God. But this is what I also saw, that even though people believed in God, very few knew Jesus. You know, how could things be so? Like, how could one believe in God and not know Jesus? Well, I see the same thing in this country. I see the same thing in this town. My entire life, as I've sat with people in ministry and I've talked to them about salvation in the church and Scripture, I've known countless people that said, Hunter, I believe in a higher power. I desperately want to know the higher power. I have a concept of who that higher power is, but I don't know who Jesus is. And you say, how could that be so? Well, a few reasons. One, they've never been taught. Or if they were taught, they were taught poorly. One thing that I saw in the Dominican Republic and one thing that I see in this country, guys, is that teaching is everything. Do you hear me? And I told you this before. I wasn't raised in the church. And the church that I went to was so backwards in their theology that it was probably been better not to be there. That I've come into ministry with such a fresh perspective because nothing has really been poured into me except for just the richness of the Bible by the time I was an age to understand it. And for so many of you guys, y'all came to this church and you came to know the Lord just really polluted with tradition and polluted with misguided information and theology and understanding. And so you come to the church and you go, yes, I understand there's a heaven and hell and devil and God, but like, I don't know who Jesus is because you've just been poorly taught. And so I ask you the question, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus in your life? And I see that so many have this concept of God, but they don't know His perfect Son. See, guys, God is this mysterious being. All-knowing, all-powerful, all-sovereign. He didn't just create the heavens, but the Bible says that He lives above them. What do you even call that space? Like, I can't even fathom heaven, can you? Well, it says that God lives above it. So if I can't even fathom heaven, what is the space that God is living in? And so in all the mysteries of God, what man has been forced to do is kind of to fill in the blanks with who God is. I'm not saying that it's right. I'm just trying to say it's what naturally happens. And that's why so many of our quote-unquote gods look different. Because all the mysteries of who God is. Man's mind cannot fathom the richness and the depths of who God the Creator is. And so we just start plugging in all of the holes with, this is what I think makes sense to me. And so for some of you, your gods are very different than the person who sits next to you. You were brought up in a church and a family that God was always looking to send you to hell. And God is angry and He's furious and He's frustrated. And God is God the Father who always has His arms crossed, just shaking His head going, brother, you are on strike two. Strike two. And so every message that you heard was hellfire and brimstone that God ain't playing with you. And listen, to some degree, that is true. God's not playing with your sin. Some of that is accurate, but that is all you know. And so when I say, who is God? You go, oh, I know who God is. God is the angry king of the world who is just looking to pour His wrath on people. And maybe if you keep your mouth shut and you stay on the back of the bus, maybe He'll be kind enough to just usher you in. Just keep your head down. That is who God is to you, but that is not the God of the Scriptures. For some of you, God is God who is full of grace, and that is all you know. So God is this Santa Claus figure that sits in the church lobby and puts kids on His lap and gives them free suckers. And asks you to make a list out of things that you would like. And God is for your good. And God wants you happy. And God is just tickled to death that you just showed up. He's like that grandparent that you go 0 for 4 for 4 strikeouts, but they still look at you and go, oh, the way that you strike out is just perfection, right? That is who God is to you. And so for some, because God is so mysterious and you filled in the blanks, God is very close. God is a brother and He is a friend. He is a partner. He is a father. He is in you. And for some, God is very distant. There's no relationship with God. You can't even look at God, and God's not even excited to look at you, right? And even though that is the case, at the end of the day, most of us have this idea, even if it's a small one, that God exists, that we need Him, that we want Him, that we understand, even if it is a small degree, that He is Creator and He is all-powerful. But past that, man just kind of fills in the blank with what they need God to be in the moment. So if you are sick, God's a healer. If you are in need, God is a provider. If you are lonely, God is a shepherd. Or if you have been beaten down, God is angry, right? But here's the thing about this word and what we preach in the gospel. Even though the idea of an all-powerful, sovereign God, creator of the universe, that knew the hairs on your head before Genesis 1, that is such a mystery to man that man will never fully understand, His Son is not mysterious. Jesus is not mysterious at all. Christ came to this earth to be fully understood. Scriptures are very clear. It is not deep theology. You don't need to go to seminary. You don't have to memorize scripture to understand the hugeness of who Jesus is. It's very clear in the Word. It says that He is the Son of God. It says that He is the perfect substitute. That He is the perfect high priest. That He is the only way to God. He is fully man and fully God. And for so many of us, I believe, and you know people like this, for so many of us, I think that we actually think that we understand the mysterious God more than we do the fully obvious and clear, perfect Son in Jesus. So who is Jesus? You don't have to flip in your Bibles. I just want to read to you some of the clarity. Who is Jesus? Kids, listen to me, please. In Ephesians 2, it says, "But now Christ Jesus," listen to how clear it is, "you who once were far off in your sin, you have been brought near by" what? "The blood of Christ." That is who Jesus is. He is Savior. Ephesians 1:7, "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace." He is the one who came down and poured His mercy and grace and love to those who do not deserve it but place their faith in Him. John 3:16, a verse that we all know from infancy, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son." Who is that Son? Jesus Christ. "That whom believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." Romans 5:8, "But God shows His love for us, and while we were still sinners," what? What? "Christ died for us." Scriptures are very clear who Jesus is. You might not understand, and I truly believe that even after we die and go to heaven, that we'll fully not understand. You hear me? I believe that when we get to heaven, so many people go, "I just cannot wait for heaven, because when I get to heaven, I'll understand all the things of God." No, you won't, because you'll never be God even when you're in heaven. Even in glory, man's mind will not fully comprehend the magnitude of God is, but Jesus is very clear. Jesus is very clear. He is the perfect Savior. He is the perfect substitute. He is the only way to God. So why is this? Why do so many of us would profess to know God and believe in a higher power, but not fully understand who His Son is? Well, I think that's also a simple answer. Because I believe the reason so many people don't know and follow Jesus, believe in God, but believe in God, is because to believe in God, believe in Jesus, and to follow Christ and to know the Son would also mean that you need Him. And if you need Jesus as Savior, that means that you would have to live a life of being confessing of your sins. And if you confess your sins, it means you have to live a life of repentance. And that's what man struggles with. See, so many, hang on it. So many can believe in God the Creator and not tackle their own sin. "I believe that He exists. I don't believe we came from monkeys or rocks colliding, but that doesn't mean that I have to look in the mirror and address my sin." But if you believe in the Son and you follow Christ, that means you have to need Him. And if you need Him, it means you're a sinner. And if you are a sinner, that means you have to repent. And if you repent, that means you have to move from your sins. That is why man struggles. So what is June, guys? What is June? June is Pride Month, right? Which I think is perfectly named. I think June being Pride Month to the homosexual and trans community is a perfect label for what the month is. It's a bunch of people who are holding tight to their sins, which will one day swallow them and drown them. And I was listening to a press conference from the White House, and a politician, an executive in the White House, in the same sentence, listen to me, In the exact same sentence, I wrote it down. He says, I am thankful to God that our country is so unified in acceptance of this belief. In the same sentence. And so what is literally being said is, I believe that there is a God. I'm thankful to Him. And what am I thankful for? That I can keep doing all the foolish things that I'm doing. I think that there is a Creator. I think that He is powerful. I know that I am not Him, but I'm not dealing with my issues. There's a belief in the Creator, but no need of a Savior. Because if I was to need a Savior, I'd have to move off from my sin. Please hear me. We've said it before. The homosexual community does not hate God at all. The homosexual community, the trans community, does not have a problem with God the Creator. They hate Jesus the Son, who comes with the authority of Scripture, because the authority of Scripture calls from you to repent of your sins and move from them. No one has a problem with God the Creator. No one has a problem with heaven. We said it before, the churches would be filled if repentance didn't exist. If Scripture was that God created and God loves you and God wants you with Him, amen, period, the churches would be filled. The reasons that we have an issue with God is because of His Son, and that is why we don't know Him well. That is why we weren't taught accurately. Not all believers are brothers. To be a Christian is to live a life of dependence on the finished work of His Son, a life of repentance. A life of repentance. And so, guys, the truth is, and I want you to think about your own life, how you were brought up, even here in the good old sweet Bible Belt, very few of you were taught repentance, right? Do you remember that word? Do you remember being taught about repentance? No, a lot of it is just, do you believe in God? That's what the Baptists are known for. Do you believe in God? Do you believe in God? Do you believe in God? If you believe in God, bow your heads and repeat after me. Do you believe that God exists? Yes, I do. Well, repeat after me and get the waters going. The church is filled, polluted with people that believe God exists, but they have not submitted to the Son. Polluted with them. Even today, we have mega churches and that are very popular and very polarizing that are just teaching this word of God is good and He wants good for you and that you can do it. And now that God lives within you, you can do all of those things. You can do it. God loves you. He's for your good. He wants you happy. Keep watching those sermons and see if any of those pastors ever bring up the idea of repentance. See if pastors like Stephen Furtick and others ever address homosexuality. See if they do. All of these churches that are just pushing this nonsense into people that God is for you, that He's taking how good you are. He's just topping you off. He's making you great. He's your spiritual life agent. See if they ever talk about sin and repentance. Do you know why they don't? They know what they're doing. Do you know why they don't? It's not popular. It's hard to fill seats and it's hard to sell books when you're talking about people's sin. Even in small churches, even in small towns, I want you to understand me. Listen to me. Even in small towns, guys, people will pick churches that they know that there won't be any accountability for them. You hear me? I will pick a church that I can just come and go as I please. I can float around. I can act like a nutball out there on Saturday and do all of these awful things. I can be vulgar. I can abuse people. I can scream at individuals. I can do all of these things. But I can come in on Sunday and everything's okay because we're all that. And I know that no one's going to say anything because they want these seats filled. Right? Because we all believe God the Creator, but very few submit to Jesus the Son. Who is Jesus the Son to you? It says concerning this idea of repentance. It says in, just listen to the words, in Acts 3, repent therefore and turn back that your sins may be blotted out. In 2 Peter 3, the Lord is not slow to fulfill His promises, as some count slowness, but patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, that all should reach repentance. In Matthew 4:17, from that time Jesus began preaching, saying, repent, that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. If you've lost me so far, hang on these words. We've all heard the sermon, we've all said it, we've all thought it, and it makes us feel happy and good. Jesus loves you. God loves you just as you are. Show me the verse that says that. Come find me in the lobby afterwards. Show me the verse that says that God is pleased with man in all of his sin. No, God loves you so much that He sent His Son in spite of you. We look at our kids. Hey, listen, don't worry about it. You are perfect the way you are. Kids, eyes on. If your parent has ever told you that, they are lying to you. You are not perfect the way you are. You are far from it. And the reason that Jesus came, the reason that there is a cross, is because of your imperfections. But I can believe in God, but not in His Son, because His Son requires repentance. In Acts 2:38, it says, and Peter said to them, repent. It's the one thing that you'll constantly hear in the Bible. Repent, 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 and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. It was clear who Jesus was. It was clear. The message of the gospel is not be who you are. The message is repent. So who is Jesus to you? Because if Jesus isn't everything, guys, then you probably do not know Him. Who is Jesus to you? In our evangelism and the idea that not every believer is a brother, you know the one thing that I noticed? I just noticed this. I've been in ministry for a long time. I share the gospel with countless people. I've preached a ton of sermons. And this hit me in the last 2 weeks. There is a better question on, do you believe God? Do you believe in God? Asking people, there's a better question. That is not the right question that we should be asking people. What we should be asking people is not, do you believe in a higher power? What we should be asking people, who is Jesus to you? That's the question. Who is Jesus to you? Because there are so many that believe in God but will burn for eternity because they have not accepted the free gift of salvation, which is only found through His Son. Do you know who Rainn Wilson is? Rainn Wilson, anybody? I'll throw you some candy. You got anybody? London, you don't know who Rainn Wilson is. I think you just want candy. Rainn Wilson is Dwight from The Office. Everybody loves The Office. And so right now, he is on this kick right now where he's written a book and he's on this tour and he's going to speak to the world about the goodness of God. Praise the Lord. And so Dwight has wised up. Go look it up. Go YouTube it. Go read about it. And man, he is calm and he is peaceful and he is humble and he is faithful in speaking the word. God is good. Like, spirituality brings peace. We are missing it. The reason that our world is in the shape that it's in is we lack God. And we're like, amen, 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 amen. I love what he is saying. And then someone says, well, what are your views on Jesus? And he says, Jesus was real. I believe that Jesus is a special prophet, son of God. I believe in all of those things. I believe that he is the greatest teacher and where hope can be found. Do you believe that the only way to God is through his son, Jesus Christ? And he says, no. Well, brother, you are not one of us. Just because you believe, it doesn't mean you're my brother. And so I think sometimes it trips us up. Because we just hear someone say God and we go, whoo, they're in our camp. They believe what we believe. Not so fast. There's people that line up with a lot of my views. The older I get, like the more dead set conservative I am. And there's people like Ben Shapiro and others that when I listen to them, I'm like, amen, 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 amen. Who do you think Jesus is? He was a great teacher. I was like, oh. Not every believer is a brother. So there's people in your life, guys, here's the truth, and some of them might be sitting in this church. You have spent your life believing in a higher power and you have nothing against Jesus. You think he existed and you might not even understand it. It might be subconscious, but you go, yes, I am in good standings, and you're not. You're not. I still hold true to this. These are the scariest verses in the Bible. In Matthew 7:21, it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, the day they die, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name? Have we not done many wonders in your name? Don't we believe? Don't we believe? And then I'll declare to them that I never knew you. That I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. There will be many that are not shocked that God exists but die in hell. Only those who repent of their sins and place their faith in Jesus will enter heaven. And so as I have you turn your Bibles where I told you to put a tassel, please. Who is Jesus to you? Are you simply a believer or are you a brother? Who is Christ? We're not asking you if you believe that God exists. I'm asking you who his son is in your life. Well, as I told you, the Bible does not make the character of his son mystery. Is not deep theology. He made himself known. That's why he came to this earth. No confusion, no gray, no blurriness. And listen to Romans 5, verse 6. Please, we can slow it down. If you didn't put a tassel when I asked you to, you can still go. Go to Romans 5, chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. Get your highlighters. Let's work a little. For when we were still without strength, this is our need. It's not just a belief. This is my desperate need. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for the righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man, someone will even dare to die. Highlight 8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were all still sinners, Christ died for us. That's who his son is. Keep highlighting. Much more than having now been justified by what? What we've done, who we are, our last name, the money we've given, how many services we have attended, what we say that we believe. How? The blood of Jesus. By this blood we shall be saved from the wrath through him. Very clear. For if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. But God who is rich in mercy, Ephesians, right? But God who is rich in mercy, not just simply love, we are, no, but he loves us by sending his son. We see this You don't got to flip. In Acts 4, it says, "And there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Hey guys, as we start to wrap into our Lord's Supper, it scares me today in that I believe the church is filled with people who follow God the Creator but have not submitted to Jesus the perfect Son and Savior. Like, you need heaven, but you don't need forgiveness. Do you hear me? And I know we had a lot of faithful people here, so I might be speaking to deaf ears. I don't know why God placed this on my heart this morning. I don't know why. But in my prayer, God just said, that is not the message that you would have. This is the message that I have given you, and I'm speaking to you today. I'm fearful that we have people that are faithfully following God the Creator, God the Powerful, God the King, God the Provider, God the Sustainer, but they are not following Jesus the Son. Because Jesus the Son would mean that we have to need Him. And if we need Him, that means that we have to repent. And repentance is where man falls. Forgiveness is what man refuses to seek. What are you running after more, heaven or forgiveness? Which one? Heaven or forgiveness? So it goes back to our original question, who is Jesus in your life? Because please hear me out. If He's not Savior, well, this is Pride Month for you too. You hear me? And you might not have all of those ridiculous shirts on and face painted and be doing all of those things, but you're celebrating with them. And I want you to go home. And this is not guilt trip. This is not harsh words. I'm not trying to motivate you to the altar. But if you are not following Jesus the Savior, I want you to go home. I want you to look in the mirror and I want you to say, Jesus, I don't need saving today. And you're, Hunter, I would never say such a thing. That is what your life screams daily. I don't need saving today. You've already created me. I'm crossing my fingers for heaven, but I don't need a Savior. I want the Creator in my sin. Well, that is not Christianity. And I'm fearful that some will not come to the altar. Some will not pray for salvation. Some will not grace the altar because you're in a space today you don't know what you are. I see that so many times at Eastview. You were raised and you were born on a pew. And you know all the stories and you've been preached every sermon. And then when the gospel like smacks you in the face, you come to this realization like, I don't know what I am exactly. Well, man, if you don't know what you are, then you're probably not a believer. You're probably not a follower. And it scares me that we have a population of people that are confused on where they stand with the Lord. It scares me that we have people here at this church or any church or the Bible Belt that they know that I'm speaking to them right now, but they are so scared to death to stand before people and profess Jesus be King, because how would that look? Like, I live in a small town. I've been going to church forever. Everybody thinks that I'm a Christian. Like, if I got in those waters, it would create all of these questions like, Wendy? Like, Wendy's the pastor's wife. Like, she teaches Sunday school. Like, what is she doing up there? I'm scared that the church worldwide is filled with people that have been living a life like they're a Christian, but they're not a Christian. They're someone of Matthew 7, and you know I'm talking about you, but your pride is weighing you down from standing up and professing Jesus be King. And please listen to me. Hell waits for you. That's rough words. And then, lastly, I'm scared for some, you just bypass the whole thing. I think I see this in some of our youth, some of our young people. Like, you know that you have not accepted, that you have professed Jesus to be King, but you're kind of living like you have. Like you come to Sunday school and you go to the youth group and you go to camp and you go to mission trips and you're going to all of these things. And so I kind of feel like I've just kind of bypassed the hurdle. You haven't. Like you can fool your parents and you can fool me and you can fool your neighbor. You're not a brother. And there's going to be a moment where we take the Lord's Supper and there's going to be people standing around you holding that cup and you're going to be empty-handed. And the reason you're empty-handed is because you're not following the perfect Savior that offers His Son. And so who is Jesus to you? But here's the good news. If you're in need of a Savior this morning, the good news is that Jesus has you covered, literally. I have you covered. I am a sinner. I am in need of help. Salvation is not about cleaning myself up. It is not about getting my stuff right. It is not about making sure that I do or that I understand or even that I simply believe. It is that I am submitting to the Savior. As I call my praise team up, I submit to the Savior. God, I am in need. God, I am in need. I am a sinner. I need your Son. I cannot do this alone. Save me. And so I want to read to you, if we've been reading out of this a lot lately after we did our study in this, you're welcome to turn to it as we go into our Lord's Supper. But if you just want to see it, go to Ephesians 2, please. And what we do here at Eastview, we teach the Lord's Supper through two words, and that is repentance and celebration. God, please forgive me. And then we praise His name for the forgiveness in which He has promised. And so when it comes to repentance here, God, save me, forgive me, I need your Son. And so what I often get here in ministry, and I saw it in the Dominican, I see it with little children, and I see it with people that have been in the church forever, what trips people up, and we often don't do this, and I'm not giving you a repeat after me, I just want you to understand me. What often trips people up is people want a repeat after me. Like, Hunter, I know I'm not saved. Because I don't know who Jesus is. I've been in church, like I've heard the good news, but I don't know who Jesus is. I know I'm not following Him. I know that my people around me think that I am, but I know that I'm not. Like, how do I get saved? What do I read? What test do I got to take? Like, what prayer do I got to make sure that I say? Listen to me. God is not waiting on your words. He's waiting on your submission. Save me. Save me. Forgive me of my sins. And so I am not giving you a prayer to repeat. But if today is when the gospel sank in, and you understand that Jesus is the only way to God, and that you doing a bunch of church activities and going to camp and giving some money and singing some songs are not going to save you. You simply believing that God exists is not going to save you. But you following after the perfect Son is the only way to heaven and to God and to glory. If today was the first day that made sense to you, as we pray and they sing, God, save me. Save me. There is no prayer to recite. I believe you exist. I need your Son, and I will follow His ways. I will follow His ways. And so, I'm going to pray here. And as I pray, when I say amen, I'm going to sit and I'm going to pray for my own life. Because if you say, hey, Hunter, you don't gotta ask me if I'm saved, brother. Like, I've been following Jesus forever. I'm not questioning that I am a Christian. Well, you still need to repent. Just because your yard looks good now because you just mowed it, if you don't mow it a week from now, the weeds are growing right back up. And so for some of you guys, you have been saved for a long, long time, but your yard looks nasty. Because you're not living a consistent life of repentance. And so I'm going to sit myself down and I'm going to pray that God forgives me of the foolishness in my life as a Christian. And so as I say amen and they sing, I plead with you guys, God, save me. Or God, thank you for saving me, but forgive me of my foolishness. Forgive me of my sin. Help me repent. So let's bow our heads. God, we thank you for today. Lord, I come standing in the front of the line pleading for forgiveness. I fail as a father. I fail as a husband. I fail as a friend. I fail as a pastor. I fail from idols in my life, pride and ignorance and lust and foolishness. I run the gamut. And Lord, the only thing good in me is you. And so, Lord, I pray that you forgive me. If there is sin in my life and I don't see it, bring it to light. I am not perfect and I'm far from it. So if there is something in my life that the enemy is hiding in the shadows and I am doing things that are hurting my witness and I'm hurting my church, I'm hurting my bride, I'm hurting my kids, but I'm allowing it. I'm continuing to rationalize it. Bring it to light. Bring me to my knees and Lord, help me repent. Crush those idols. Kill that foolishness and forgive for anyone who is not saved. Lord, I pray that you take that pride from them. Lord, at one day all knees will bow. We can bow knowing it, or we can have ankles broken it and feel it. Lord, I pray that you put that on us. Bring conviction to our spirit. Step forward to where we can see your light in the midst of our sin and save us. That today, if someone does not know you today, let today be the day of salvation. In your precious and your holy name, in the name of Christ, we say amen.